Today's Bible study, Bible class, is going to be over a child's obedience matters. That was the topic assigned to me, a child, which is like the fifth time I've had to talk about rearing children. And I'm still trying to figure it out myself, so I don't know why they keep picking on me. Maybe it's just because I have a few more years left with mine to not mess it up too badly. Maybe that's what it is. But a child's obedience matters. And to start, and I'm going to have several read, so please be prepared to read. I may just start with like these four Freisinger boys, five Freisinger boys and Nate, and we'll just go down the way. Problem is I only have four verses. So how do we... You may get left out, but you're about to have a party next weekend, so it'll be all right. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, if you would, please, Wesley.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long.
Okay, I'd like for you to read that again, but stood up and kind of facing the people that are behind you, since majority of the people are behind you.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth.
Okay, very good. Keep that in your minds. We're not going to discuss it yet. We're going to go to the next passage, Colossians 3, 20. Colossians 3, 20.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord.
Wonderful. Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Wonderful. And one more, Deuteronomy 5:16. All right, wonderful. So we have New Testament, we have Old Testament. We have a continuance of something that was established in the Old Testament being repeated in the New Testament, okay? Once Christ has come. And what would you say is the reason that children need to obey their parents? It's a command. God said it. So I'm going to sit down now and we're done. Not really, okay? Because if you look at Old Testament specifically, Old Testament laws and the Mosaical law, there's a lot of laws about cleanliness. There's a lot of laws about morality. There's a lot of laws about worship, okay? And if you really dive in and logically look at each one of those laws, a lot of them help prolong your physical life in reality, okay? Not eating the gross stuff that eats, you know, like catfish. They weren't supposed to eat the catfish and the shrimp and the bottom feeders of a lake. Why? I'm sorry?
Disease.
Okay? Gross bacteria. All right? There were different things. There was even a law about a fly landing on your food. Okay? You can look that, or a bug. I don't know if it was really a fly, but a bug. Okay? You can look that one up. So a lot of these laws were over cleanliness. Also, circumcision. Okay? We know today that in society, it's really easy to get infections when uncircumcised, okay? That was, what did God call that? That you were the clean people and they're the dirty people, right? The unclean. The Jews were clean, the Gentiles were unclean, okay? It's not just spiritually, But that same word for clean is reflected on physical cleanliness as well, okay? So a lot of laws that, but this one is repeated. This stuff that we just talked about, obeying your parents, is repeated in the New Testament. Is it just because it's a commandment and God wants it that way, or is there something good about it?
Pleases God.
I'm sorry? It does please God. It does. So I'm going to ask the children only, okay? There's a whole bunch of them right over there. So I'd like to know the answers there. And there's a few of them over here. No parents. Oh, there's some in the middle too, okay? I would like for you to raise your hand and tell me why it is important for you to obey your parents. Yes, sir, Gage. Okay. Because they're telling you to do something that they've already made a mistake on? Is that your DNA? Okay. Yes, ma'am. Ooh, when you respect your parents, it shows you respect God. It's good. I've got two answers. There's so many more. Caitlin, why do you need to obey me? So that you don't do the same mistake over and over again, okay? Anyone else that's a child? I feel kind of bad for picking on kids that aren't my children, but yes, ma'am. For what? To protect you, for safety. Very good. Enoch, why do you need to obey your parents? Think about it. Jacob, why do you need to obey your parents? It'll help you learn about God more. You're a deep individual, Jacob. Enoch, do you think of one? What is it? Forgot it already? That's okay. Yes, ma'am. To what? Protect you from the world around you. Is that what you said? Okay, see, I'm 40 now. And I don't know what happened at 39 and a half, but my ears just were like, done. And especially children's voices, it's like they're not really speaking. Gage, I'll let you have one more. What you got? Yep, it's very true. Yep. Okay. Not one of y'all said to avoid punishment. Little upset about that. Oh, Kipton said it just as a mumble. Okay. Oh, all right. So, which brings me to the lesson one time and two time and three times ago that I've done about disciplining your children. Okay. To avoid being disciplined. But I came up with a few myself, but I also want to hear what the parents have to say now. So if you're a parent or a grandparent, I'd like to hear what y'all have to say. Okay. Yes, sir, Mike. Because you love them. Boom. That's great. We're going to come to that. Yes, sir, James.
Because we don't know everything, even though we thought we did.
And that's why you're disciplining your children? I don't understand. Wait. Start over.
I obeyed my parents I wish I would have obeyed my parents better, because although I thought I knew everything, I didn't know half of what I thought I did.
Oh, so you're trying to instruct your kiddos. Okay, now I'm following. Sorry. You're thinking too rapidly from my pace. Anyone else? Mr. Smithy, as an elder in the church, why is it important for children to obey their parents?
This is chief, it's already been mentioned, but it's authority.
Learning to respect authority. Not just the parents, right? But maybe anyone that has an authoritative role in society. Police officers, right? Seth's a firefighter. Where's Seth? Seth, if you tell someone when you come up on a wreck to do a certain thing and they don't do it, what does that do for you? Makes life a little more difficult, doesn't it? Could go from a major injury a minor injury to a major injury in a big hurry. You told them specifically to do that for their safety, right? Because you are the authoritative role in that atmosphere. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Eric.
I was going to say, when your child sees how you have to be obedient to their parents, It makes you already to be obedient to God and His Word.
Very good. Learning obedience to a parent helps you learn obedience to God. Okay, I had a man at a baseball game. He was an umpire. Okay, we were talking about the shooting that happened in North San Angelo. How we've had several shootings that are kids shooting each other. All right, and I said we just don't have a respect for human life anymore. Okay, and he said that's because they don't have a respect. He said this. Okay, someone I don't know his background at all. Okay. He said, it's because we don't have respect for our parents, which leads to no respect for authority, which means we have no respect for life. It's our way or the highway. Think about that. Okay? So, I came up with a few, all right, on my own, which we've touched on, already. I came up with safety, okay? And not just physical safety. I have mental safety, physical safety, and spiritual safety. All right? When you obey your parents are telling... Kids, listen to me. Okay? When you're obeying your parents, they may give you a command like, you're not allowed to go to that party. You are not allowed to go there. You are not allowed to hang out with this friend. Okay? A lot of those situations are not because they're worried about your physical health, though that may come into play. It's more or less because of what's going to go on up in here in your brain when you see some things you shouldn't be seeing. It reminds me of a story of a man and his granddaughter on a railroad track, or on a railroad, and they were traveling, and the grandfather had custody of the little girl because of choices that the parents had made. And one day the little girl, she still little, says, why are you taking care of me instead of my mom and dad? The real answer is because of the adulterous relationships they were having, okay? So what he said was just, well, they couldn't stay just with each other. They kept going to other people. And she goes, well, what does that mean? He said, you're too young to handle this luggage. He didn't explain it to her. She was a little girl, okay? Sometimes that's a parent. That's what we're doing. We're just saying no. That's the end. No. And you're not going to get an explanation until you're older. Or you may not get an explanation at all until you realize why, when you reflect on it yourself, when you're talking to your own kid, this is why they said no. This is why I wasn't allowed to do that. Okay? Children aren't meant to have the same kind of burdensome thoughts as adults. That's our job to protect them from that.
Maturity level.
Maturity, yep. Okay, so then we have physical health and safety, all right? God gives commands himself, Deuteronomy 5:33, Proverbs 3, 1 through 2, okay? You can look those up. And those were to prolong their life, okay? Those commandments, obey me to prolong your life. Well, let's go back to some of the commandments about not eating filthy things. Not eating pork that usually grew worms really quick or was full of worms already and you didn't cook it well enough, okay? That'll prolong your life, right, if you're not throwing up your guts forever and die, dehydration or other disease, okay? And then you have, this is more of an adult theme, okay? But you have the harlotry that existed. Multiple partners in adult relationships spreads disease. Okay, it just does. They were told not to do that. Okay, not only was it adulterous, but it was also for their own physical safety. Yes, ma'am.
To prove your point about the food that you're talking about, God commanded them not to eat pork or to eat the catfish in the bottom of the sea. Because at that time, the things to clean or to make it safe to eat did not yet exist. And so therefore, at that time, God just said, no, don't eat it.
Yeah.
Now we have things that are available to clean the pork properly, to cook the pork properly, mm-hmm. so that we can eat the pork properly. We've matured, we've learned, advancements have been made, and now the answer is, okay, yes. So God, even as our Heavenly Father, showed us sometimes that things are no until you can know better or do better and understand more. And parents now follow the example of the Heavenly Father with their own children.
That's right. That's right. When was it okay for those Jewish people to start eating pork? Y'all remember what book chapter it was? We had a man, he was an apostle. He's like, I can't eat that thing. Acts chapter 10. Who was that man? Cornelius was a Gentile. Who was the man, the apostle? Peter. Oh, sometimes that's the only person who listens. All right. Spiritual safety, Hebrews 5, 9. You know, let's just turn over there. Hebrews 5, chapter 9. Because this is a spiritual class, right? We're talking biblical things. Hebrews 5, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Ray, you want some? Who we got? Who did I stop on? So he can, is it good to read? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Stand up and turn to the audience.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey.
All right. Eternal salvation. Is that an earthly thing or a spiritual thing? Spiritual. How do you know?
Eternal.
It's eternal. Yeah. There's been a lot of people that have obeyed God that are dead, right? They didn't last on this earth for all eternity. Okay, it's a spiritual thing, eternal. But it's to those who do what?
Obey.
Obey, right? Okay, there we go. The other topic I came, or the other reason I came up with that's a logical reason is to just learn. To learn how to be trained up, like in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Okay, we also have a wise son listens to his father in Proverbs chapter 13, verses 1. And following, okay? And then not only can you just learn, but you can learn a what discipline is, which is what we talked about already, where you have respect for the authority of the parent, which encourages a discipline and a respect for authority for those outside of the parental role, just someone that is in an authoritative role. And then also maybe a task or a trade, okay? You're learning a task or a trade. You know, what Jesus was called a carpenter, right? Why was he called a carpenter at one time? Because his dad was a carpenter. He learned a trade. He probably helped his dad. If someone referred to him as a carpenter, other passages say he's the son of that carpenter, right? But as a carpenter, he had to have learned a trade. He had to listen to his dad. What do you use to cut lumber? A saw. What if Joseph was like, hey, don't put your hand right there in case you cut yourself. He's like, nope. Okay. He cut himself, right? Have you had someone that you're training up do something that you told them not to do and it hurt them? Yeah. This man works with his hands all the time. He's learned safety methods. Okay. Have you had that happen, Mr. Murr, where someone didn't quite listen to how you told them to do it, thought they were brave and strong and they did it their way and now they're maybe missing a digit? Yeah, it happens. It happens. Customer of mine has a nub on his index finger right there, all because he didn't do it the way he knew he should have done it. Okay? He tried to shortcut it. So that's why parents tell different things. The good news is Isaac has all of his digits, though he worked on the car with Daniel. He must have listened well, right, Daniel?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. There's other times where I've instructed my children, and it's usually when I'm under duress physically. I'm like, Kipton, come help me pick this up, right? I have bit off more than I could chew. I needed another person. Has that happened? Yes. It's nice that he's big and strong now. He's not as strong as me, but he's getting there, okay? And he's not as big as me neither, even though he thinks he is. But right there, children, to be helpful, okay? All right, listen to your parents so you can help them. That's encouraging to the parent, and it's encouraging to you knowing that you can help this mighty man, dad of yours, whoever it may be. Or you can help your mom in this regard. It's a great thing. Okay, and then another one is to avoid rework. Okay, rework. Someone who's a parent who's had to help their kid rework something, is that a real thing? Raise your hand if that's a real thing because they just didn't listen to you the first time. Okay? Yeah, it's a real thing. Man, we wish you just would have listened because now we're doing it twice. All right? Same things happen with God. Do you remember the book of Judges? Anyone know the book of Judges? It's a roller coaster, isn't it? hey, we're great, we're doing good, praise God. And then we get really relaxed and we stop praising God and we stop worshiping what we want to. And then captivity comes and enemies and this and that. And oh, please God, help us. And they get back up on the high end of the roller coaster, yay, because they start doing what God says to do. And then they roller coaster down and up and down and up and down and up. Man, that's just rework. That's all that was rework. They forgot how to worship God. They didn't listen to what God told them how to do it. So now they're having to go back to redo it the way God wanted to do. We also see that with the kings, right? We see where King Josiah, right, found the book of the law and weeps and tears his clothes because they are having to redo everything. They're tearing down the high places to the idols. They're killing the priests of the false gods. They're having to completely cleanse out the kingdom, right? Y'all remember that? Rework. Man, it would have been a whole lot easier if they just kept worshiping God the way they were supposed to. They wouldn't have to kill anybody. They wouldn't have had to tear down high places. They would have never built high places. It would have been a lot easier. Okay. So, those are the logical reasons that I came about why we need to listen to our parents, okay? And why it matters for children to be obedient. But in reality, you have to make an assumption. When you use any of this logic, you have to make an assumption. And that assumption is that the authority, those in authority, the parent figure in this situation, is striving to give instruction that is not in conflict with God's word. Okay? Why would I say that? Mr. Estes, why would I say that? That we have to make the assumption that the authoritative figure or the parent, in this example of children obeying their parents, must be giving instructions that are not in conflict with God's word. Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to avoid also those, well, what if my dad is a mafia boss and wants me to go send that guy to sleep with the fishes? I guess I need to obey him, huh? He's going to go sleep with the fishes. No, that's not it. Okay.
It's cliche. We've all heard it. We've all said it. But we want our children to be better than us.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. If I were someone that gambled or bet or whatever, I would bet on every parent in this room right now has no desire for their children to disobey God. Okay. And so the instructions given are not in conflict with God's word. But those are the types of things that children like to say. Immature people like to throw out the big what ifs that aren't real. It's not a valid argument, okay? So we have to make that assumption. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Grant, I will let you read finally if you're okay with it. In verse 6.
Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?
Okay. Pay close attention as we go through these verses, these next few verses, on how God is described. Okay? So there's one. Now let's go over to Isaiah 63, verse 16. Isaac, can you read for me, please, sir? Isaiah chapter 63, verse 16. Alrighty. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Luke, can you read that one for... Not Luke, Luke Modelwell, sorry. Disappointment. Sorry. Y'all are sitting too close together. That's not allowed. Lukes have to be on opposite sides. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9.
Our Father, which art in heaven,
Thank you. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 15, Luke Leonard. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. All right. Now that's where we're going to stop as far as those passages go. What was the commonality between those passages? What is God described as or describing himself as? Father. Okay. Is that just some word that a guy wrote down? Or is that this the inspired word of God? It's inspired, right? So even though that may have been Isaiah or Moses writing that stuff down, it's not them describing God that way. It's God describing himself that way. All right? God is the perfect father / parental authority. Okay? As fathers in our own households, we should aim to be the same character as God. But it's impossible, okay, because we don't know everything like God knows everything. We're not miraculous like God is miraculous. We're not those things. But when God shows favor towards children, when he shows mercy towards children, when he shows discipline towards children, we are to learn from those examples, okay? When he gives instruction, okay, we are to learn from those examples of how to be fathers, because he is the perfect father and parental authority, okay? If he did not see, if that was not a characteristic of God, he would not use that word. Instead, he would see himself only as God, which is Genesis 1:1. God created the heavens and the earth, right? Creator, Romans 1:25 just tells us that he is the creator of all things, okay? And then, or Lord, which is Nehemiah 9:6. And there's so many other passages, too, where those words are used, okay? But he only would have used those words because everything that God does is with a purpose. But he also calls himself Father, all right? So, as his children, this is where it gets a little deeper for us older folks in here, okay? He's our Father. We need to be obedient, and that's why it matters. Okay, we already saw that it's a commandment. We saw that it leads to everlasting life, but it's because our Father told us to. Okay, so now flipping back on the children, by recognizing the fact that God is the ultimate perfect father parental authority, okay, and that he expects our obedience, now we as parents earthly can use the same expectations. If God demands and expects obedience, so can we. And children, if God expects and demands obedience from his children, which is everyone, okay, creation, all of us, then you can reason in your child heads, which is true because y'all are very gifted and talented and beautifully smart people, that you are to obey your parents, okay, just as God expects us to obey him. It is hard, children. It's even hard as adults, okay, to be bossed around. It's hard, okay? If it weren't hard at times, don't you think we would have a humongous building full of people, okay? Instead of all the people playing golf on Sunday, they'd instead be worshiping God on Sunday as they were told to do, right? If we really understood what obedience was, that God has the authority and the right to expect obedience, okay? We'd have it a lot different. But it's hard even as adults to listen to authority. But here's the thing. Y'all are going to be better. Y'all are going to be a great generation. Y'all are going to keep going in this pattern. And you're going to continue expecting the same thing that we're expecting of y'all. But y'all will have done it better. So hopefully your kids will do it better than you and so on and so forth. And we'll be better as a society. That's the goal. Paul, do you want any of your kids to be worse than you?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not, okay? Period. He defined it, right? Absolutely not. And before I forget, I was supposed to make an announcement. I forgot. Please pick up your stuff, your personal items out of the pews today and on Wednesday at the absolute latest so that we can prepare for a wonderful wedding. The announcement's been made. Okay? And if we see some turbulence, something will drop from the ceiling. I'll put it over here. Please put your mask on first, then the child's. No. Sorry, the way I said it kind of reminded me of a stewardess. Steward, because I'm male. I don't know. Flight attendant, thank you. Okay, so let's look at some more verses, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to stay in Deuteronomy for a little while. And then I promise we're going to get to this presentation slideshow that you see behind me and I see behind y'all. Okay? Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There it is. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Okay, and we're going to skim around. Follow along with me, please. Okay? Verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go and in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. Okay? Here we have a commandment to listen to and obey. Why? So that you can go live, so that you can go have the land. God is giving you something. All right? Let's keep going. Verse 6. Let's jump down to verse 6. Therefore, be careful to observe them, talking about the commandments. Okay? For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as Lord our God is to us? For whatsoever reason we may call upon him. Okay. What other nation has a God like this? Why are they asking that question? Because they saw the example of these people obeying God. Okay? I am proud. I am a proud dad. I have two wonderful children. You want to know why I'm so proud? Because I've actually gotten compliments like that. Your kids are so well behaved. How did you do it? Okay? I said, well, I made a wish on a star one time. No. I tried to do it the way God says to do it. Okay? Now, granted, they're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I did get a compliment once. And it was awesome. Okay? That's the kind of someone else saw the example. It wasn't like I went over to them and said, hey, Eli, check out my kids. Look how well behaved they are, huh? They're amazing, right? No, I didn't do that. Someone came out of their way to talk to me. Just like these other nations are going to come out of their way to figure out what the Israelites are doing. How are they so good? How are they so great? Why is God paying attention to them? Okay? Let's keep going. Verse 39 and 40. 39 and 40. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Okay? He's talking to the parents right here, right? And what did he say to do? Keep my commandments and then do what with them? James, then do what with them after you keep them? Pass them on to who? Your kids, okay? Kipton, you following me? You understand why I do have you do things when you don't want to do things? You understand now why we come to worship God? Okay? I'm doing what God tells me to do. Okay? Same with James and his kids. Same with the Esteses and their kids. Same with the Lewises and their kids. Same with the Modewells and their kids. So on and so forth forever and ever. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. The Cochrans, all right? We're trying to do what God tells us to do so that we can produce good kids. There's not one parent in here that wants their kid to be lost. Okay? Chapter 5. Let's keep going. I gotta hurry. In chapter 5, we could read all the way down to verse 6, okay? And we start seeing the Ten Commandments reiterized, okay? Repeated, okay? What does the word Deuteronomy mean, Mr. Smithy? Second giving. Second giving. Repeat. Okay? You like that song? Repeat. Okay? Same thing. And we see down here, we can start in verse 6. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay? Those who love me and keep my commandments. Mike, Mr. Pridemore, what did you say was the reason you instruct your children, and why was that?
Because I love them.
Because he loves them, okay? And how do the children of Israel, how are they supposed to show their love to God, according to this verse? I'm sorry? Keep his commandments. Oh, so now you have a father that's giving a commandment out of love and wants his children to love him enough to obey the loving commandment. Love, right? That's what it is. Hannah, when you disobey your... I see you giggling back there. Now I'm picking on you. Hannah, when you disobey your dad, do you know what you're doing? You're showing a lack of love. Oh, man. Right? The arrow hit. Same with you, Seth. But now you're your own man. Now you have your own house. And then you'll understand when you have your own children that it hurts when your kids don't obey you. Okay? I've been more upset about coming home and seeing the things that I asked my children to do very nicely and they didn't do it than I was when some customer of mine just chewed my head off. Okay? I know that customer doesn't love me, but my kids are supposed to love me. They're mine. Okay. Chapter 6, 1 through 9. Chapter 6, 1 through 9. Kids, remember that? You're shooting fiery darts at your parents when you stop obeying them. And it hurts. Now, this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful. Be careful to observe it, and that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Where is this repeated? Or who is this repeated by? You don't have to tell me where. Jesus says it. Why did he say it, Mr. Williamson? Yes. Was there a question asked of him? What was the question?
What's the greatest commandment?
What is the greatest commandment? There it is. Okay? There it is. And the second is like it, right? What was the second, Mr. Williamson? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, very good. Let's keep going. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Parents, pay attention. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Okay? These statutes that the Israelites were given, okay, they don't all cross over into the New Testament. But the attitude of how the Israelites were to reflect on these should be repeated in the New Testament believer. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I was just gonna say, and if we recognize this is, and thou shalt, not the preacher needs to, the Bible class teacher needs to, the, you know, whoever, that's like the charity.
Right.
The parents are the ones responsible for teaching this to their children.
That's right. That's right. Very good. Thank you for that. Guess what happened at one time in history of the Israelite nation? They forgot who Joseph was. Okay? Pharaoh forgot who Joseph was. The people of Israel forgot all these things. And there was a whole generation of people that forgot. Why? Because they stopped talking about it. Guess what? Same thing happened after Joshua. They forgot all the things that God did for them to help them go into the land of Canaan. They forgot. Why? Because they stopped talking about it. Okay? Parents, we got to talk about it with our kids. Kids, you got to listen when we're talking. Right, Emily? What did I say? I'm sorry? Listen when I'm talking. Perfect. Hear that, Kipton? She knows. All right. Very good. That's the end. That's all the time I've got because I need to go through this slideshow. But there's so much more. Mike sent out some text. I don't know who all's in the group text that Mike sends out because it's anonymous and he sends it in some app that is untraceable so the FBI doesn't get it, I guess. I don't know. But it was about what I talked about this morning when I led I'll Be a Friend to Jesus. Okay, that was the song that inspired him to send out the text messages about being a friend to Jesus and what that means. It means to love Jesus. And how do we love Jesus? Well, he spit out a whole bunch of passages about, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Those who love me will keep my commandments. Okay? God doesn't want a big old bear hug from us. He wants us to keep his commandments. That's because he's our Father. He is in charge of our safety. Just like parents are in charge of your kids' safety. And that's why it's important that the kids, Gage and Kipton, right? That's why it's important for them to listen to their parents. Right? Okay.